This is Rock and Roll English. Real people, real English. Here's your host, Martin Johnston.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Rock and Roll English. Episode number 175, baby. Oh, yeah. In today's episode, I speak to Corporal Comer about rugby. Yes, you may have seen that the Rugby World Cup has been on, or you may not have seen, because if you're like me and you don't like rugby, you've probably paid no attention. But I do my best to talk about rugby, even if I know nothing. So if you know nothing about rugby, don't worry. We are in the same boat, baby. Anyway, there is lots and lots of rock and roll vocabulary, which is all on the website rockandrollenglish.com/episode175. And if you want a transcript to this episode and a podcast every day of the week, except Sunday, because that's the day that we rest, as God said, then yes, go to rockandrollenglish.com/family. I will speak to you all again at the end, people. Here is the conversation. Happy listening. Corporal Comer, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Martin. How are you?
Always fantastic, thank you. Always fantastic. I'm very happy that you actually asked me this time. Normally, I don't get that privilege, but today, I did.
Well, we've not had the long-winded conversation beforehand, so I don't know how you are.
Well, that's a very good point. And some nice rock and roll vocabulary when you said the long-winded conversation, which is just basically another way to say long conversation, just a more rock and roll way to say it. Anyway, Corporal Comer, how do we usually start the show?
We start with a review.
Yes, we do. And I'm not going to ask you, because even though we did have a short conversation, I accidentally let out the fact that we do have a review. So when you let something out, you basically reveal the secret, let's say. And it says, "Hello, Martin. I've been listening to your podcast since March 2019. I immediately thought that, so that's March this year.
This is March.
But anyway, thanks for specifying. And I found many of them informative and hilarious. I mean, you can't get better than that, can you? Thank you so much for your podcasts about IELTS and how to improve listening skills. A podcast about Easter was incredibly amusing. I'm looking forward to hearing more podcasts from you." So thank you very much. That was from Alice, by the way. Alice in Russia. Anyway, Corporal Comer, do you know what we're talking about today?
Not a clue.
Nice vocabulary as well. He has no idea, because yeah, I didn't actually mention that in the pre-conversation. Well, this is obviously coming out on Monday. Corporal Comer and I are recording this before. And when this comes out, Corporal Comer, England might be world champions in rugby.
Ha! Huh. I mean, if this is going to be about rugby, I'm very happy to be talking about this.
It's about rugby, baby.
Sweet.
Straight off the bat here, so immediately I will tell everyone that I know absolutely nothing about rugby. So if you don't like rugby, don't worry, I don't like rugby either. So we can find out things together. I don't even know all of the rules. Do you know all of the rules, Corporal Comer?
No one knows all the rules.
I thought you actually did. I thought you were now pretending to be a rugby fan.
The referee doesn't even know all the rules.
Sure.
Doesn't matter, though. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, of course it doesn't matter, Corporal Comer. Because apparently England played a semi-final last week. I only was aware of this because of the WhatsApp chat that Corporal Comer and I are in with a few other friends. And I discovered that Corporal Comer had booked a table in a pub for 8:45 a.m. in the morning. Is that right?
Correct. I've got it booked for 8:45 again this Saturday coming for the final. It's brilliant.
Notice there he said this Saturday coming. That's what we say, just basically to say the next one. So you start drinking at 8:45 in the morning. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You can have a fry up as well. So that's like an English breakfast.
Yeah. Oh, God. You are such a hooligan, Comer. That's your problem.
I don't shout at anyone. I don't punch anyone. I'm there with my wife. My brother was there on Saturday. This Saturday, there's loads of girls going as well. It's a nice thing to do with your friends.
Yeah, because when you're there in the country, you get swept up in it. So when you get swept up, it's like everyone's like interested in it, and then you become interested in it, which obviously is not happening to me because I'm in Italy. No one is talking about it. Like I said, I didn't even know it was happening. That was like the Olympics, I remember, when in 2012 they were in London. I came back home towards the end of them. And I remember like even female friends saying to me, oh, I need to go home and watch the swimming. And I was thinking, when did you ever care about swimming?
No, that's rubbish. I mean, I don't want to watch the heptathlon. It makes no sense. But rugby, I do actually like.
Just so people know, because I think this is something that is not so well known. Rugby is considered a posh people sport, a posh boy sport. So rich people play. And the poor working class people play rugby. Football. So that's why I like football, because I'm one of the poor people. Okay, one of the peasants. So football's for me. Corporal Comer has moved up in society since we were at school. So that's why he starts... that's why he likes rugby now.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up about a mile away from you. And my mum was a barmaid, so I think football's probably where I'm more comfortable. I just like a bit of rugby.
Yeah, well, I know. It is good to see people just like running and jumping on each other, I must admit. But my problem is I can't really see the skill. You see football, a ball coming out of the air and a person just... trapping it with their foot, so trapping it like under control. Rugby, if you're big, strong and fast, you're good at rugby.
Well, no, I mean, normally the people that are big and strong aren't fast. You have people that are smaller that are fast, and people that are big and strong that aren't fast.
There are some big and strong people that are fast, and I think this is why none of us play rugby, Corporal Comer. Just the thought of you or me on a rugby pitch, oh god, that would be, yeah, it's definitely not our sport.
I'm not big, strong or fast, so I failed all three there.
You also don't really like physical contact, do you? Even football was too physical.
No.
For you.
Oh, don't like tackling, and rugby is all about tackling.
So anyway, I have some strange facts about rugby, okay, which I thought we could just talk about. Apparently, it was invented by a guy called William Webb Ellis when he was playing football at his school. His school was called Rugby School, and apparently he didn't know the rules of football, so he just picked up the ball and started running to the goal, and then everybody thought, well... Let's call this a game. Let's call this rugby.
But the ball's a different shape.
Oh, that brings me on nicely to my next point, Corporal Comer, which apparently the balls in the past were made from pig's bladders. So the bladder is the part of the body which, you know, controls your piss, let's say.
It stores your urine.
Yeah, I'm sure it does more things than that. It's quite important. But it was made from a pig's bladder. And that's, I don't know, then people just started playing with that, which, you know, is not the best. When I saw that, though, I immediately thought of a time when we were in school in a science lesson and everyone had to dissect a pig's heart. Do you remember doing that?
Yeah, I do remember that, yeah. Was that another one where you fainted, or were you upright for that lesson?
I did not faint. So remember, when you faint, it's when you lose consciousness. I think that was of an injection where I nearly fainted, okay? I didn't faint. I just felt a bit hot, okay? It was just all a bit much for me. So when something's a bit much for you, there's too much going on, there's a bit of confusion, and I just needed some me time, Corporal Comer, okay? A bit of me time.
You were lying on the floor with your eyes closed, so that's... And someone was pumping your legs into your chest, so... I'm going to say you fainted.
Helps the blood move around the body, okay? That was quality. If you want some quality me time, lying on the floor with your eyes closed is one of the best things that you can do. But yeah, we did have to dissect a pig's heart, and I think I was nearly sick. I nearly vomited because it was so disgusting. I remember someone throwing it at me, and then I had to catch it, which...
That's bad. Yeah,
I was thinking... How does that help a child's education? Like, in my later life, I've never had to dissect a pig's heart. again or anything. I don't know why they make like 15-year-olds do that.
Because it's an understanding of a pig's heart is very similar to a human's heart. So it's got the same four chambers. It gives you an understanding of your own body.
Just show me a picture. Just show me a picture, okay? And I'll be happy looking at the picture. I won't feel sick looking at a picture.
But, I mean, unfortunately, we went to a pretty terrible school and no one would have gone on to be a doctor. But I imagine some schools that were good, people would do that and they'd go on, it would spark their interest and they'd go on to be a doctor.
Oh, always ruining the fun, aren't you? Pissing on my parade, okay? I had a good point there of it's not useful and you had to just piss on my parades. When you piss on someone's parade, you ruin their fun and basically prove that they are wrong. Yes, you are correct, okay? Corporal Coma, congratulations.
Well, I mean, I just like to think of myself as an optimist and you're very much a pessimist.
I would never deny that. I would never deny that. Another one I've got here is about a whistle. So remember, the whistle is the thing the referee blows before he has to whistle. And apparently the same whistle, the very same whistle, has been used for the opening match of the World Cup since 1905. So you think, if you're a referee, they give you this whistle and you think people have been putting this thing in their mouths for over 100 years. How would you feel about that, Corporal Coma?
Not good. That's disgusting. I'd hope that'd be thoroughly sanitised, because otherwise you're going to get bloody tuberculosis from the whistle. Like, there's diseases that used to happen and aren't about now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's minging. So if something is minging, it's absolutely disgusting.
No one in England says minging anymore. Don't. No listener should ever say the word minging.
I'm bringing it back. It's having a second wind, so like another time when it's really used, because the last time that word was used a lot was when we were about 12. But I'm bringing it back. It's like, though, I thought, drinking from the same bottle. Like, if I've got a bottle of water and you haven't, and you're really thirsty and you say, can I have a bit of that water, I give it to you, you put it in your mouth, then, you know, do I put it back in mine? What are your thoughts on that?
It depends on the person.
Yeah, that's the thing.
If it was you, I would do it. If most of my friends, I need to know, have a bit of background information about that person.
you need to know where that mouth has been. First,
yeah, if that mouth has been compromised in any way, then I don't want to know. I'll go thirsty.
Yeah, for example, I would, well, first of all, the same as you, if you drank from a bottle, I would have no problems then drinking from it after. But if the Hellraiser drank from a bottle and then gave it to me, oh, God, no, I would not even go near that.
He's been sharing that bottle with probably two of his dogs, so they're all sharing the same bottle.
Exactly, yeah. It's not really for me, that one.
No, not at all.
It's a bit like, I suppose, being naked with people. Like, you know, if you feel comfortable with someone, you can feel comfortable standing naked with them. But, you know, if you don't, it's not really a good thing. Like, for example, I've just signed up for a gym. So signed up, I've just started going. And I've got that thing again now of after my heavy session of lifting some, like, maybe 5 kilogram weights, I look at the other person in the changing room and I just think, who is going to take off their pants first? Who is going to get out their penis first, me or you?
I don't know why you care so much about this. You don't care. Whenever I'm with you in a hotel room, your pants are off before I know what's going on. You don't care about it then. I don't know why you care so much in a changing room.
As I said, it depends who you're with. I've known you for more or less 30 years, Corporal Coma. I'm happy doing that. But with the guy I've never met in the gym, I don't know. In fact, at this gym, I actually thought, I don't know, like, the protocol. So I don't know what people do. Do you have to cover yourself and go into the shower, or can you just go free and just let it out there?
Yeah, if you cover yourself, you look like you've got something to hide.
Well, that's it. I was like, well, you know, I've got nothing to hide. Let's go. But it kind of reminded me of like a film, like a Western film, of, you know, when they draw their guns. So when they draw their guns, it's when they get their guns out. It's like me and him looking at each other of who is going to get out their penis first.
I don't understand why you didn't just get your pants off and just crack on. It's not a Western. Just go free. Take the first shot.
Oh, I did take the first shot in the end. I had to. I had to just get it out there just to set the tone. So to set the standard.
After that, did he not take his pants off because you'd intimidated him so much?
No, I think as soon as I took mine off, he just burst out laughing.
Yeah, that sounds more realistic.
So moving on quickly from the size of my penis, another fact I've got here is the longest rugby match ever played is 28 hours and 23 minutes because people were raising money for charity. So they decided to do this. And again, I immediately thought, why do people have to do crazy things to raise money for charity? Can't you just say, I'm raising money for charity?
But the thing that... Okay, so this is a good point. That actually sounds unpleasant. I wouldn't want to play rugby at all, let alone for 28 hours.
Not even for 28 seconds.
Yeah, no, very much. I mean, I'd get hurt in 28 seconds. But it's when people go, oh, for charity, I'm going to go to Peru and I'm going to go to Machu Picchu. And it's like, you're just going on holiday. You're basically just trying to get people to pay for you to go on holiday and masquerading it as charity. Fuck off.
Well, I'm with you on that. And then you feel bad for not giving them any money. When they mention it, I think, oh, fuck, well, I've got to now. But no. I don't really want to because I'm just paying for you to do something that you probably want to do anyway. Yeah, you're just like using the excuse of raising money for charity.
Yeah, it's just fundraising. You're going to give charity like 20 quid at the end. And then you've just got a free trip to bloody Peru. Like, no, this is absolute bollocks.
I am with you there. So absolute bollocks, absolute rubbish. Oh, yeah, I am with you. The next one, though, is something that we may have different opinions about. Apparently, the idea, well, and the thing, I suppose, of singing national anthems before sporting events started in rugby. Because the All Blacks were doing it, which the New Zealand team, I think, isn't it? They were doing their dance thing, the haka. And then they were playing Wales. And then in response to this, the Welsh people started singing the national anthem. And then since then, it just caught on. So when something catches on, basically everyone starts doing it. And obviously, the English one is God Save the Queen. What are your thoughts on that, Corporal Comer? Do you like it?
What, the English national anthem?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do like it, yeah.
God, I knew it. I knew it. Because you love the Queen, don't you?
No, I couldn't care less. It's just, I couldn't care less about the Queen. I just think it's a really good song that mobilises and unifies the English fans before rugby or football
yeah, but
or whatever.
Think about the significance of it, the meaning of the words. Like, God save the Queen. Why just save the Queen? Save all of us.
But when you sit there singing Champagne Supernova at the end of a night, do you really care about the words? Do you even know what they mean?
You do have a point there. So Champagne Supernova is an Oasis song, by the way. You do have a point, but I just thought the words could be a bit different. Like, God save all of us, and then everyone's happy.
It wouldn't work.
Okay, well, thanks for that. So the last one we've got here is that a rugby coach invented basketball, apparently, because he wanted to train his athletes and then it was too cold to train outside. So he had to think of something they could do inside and not get cold. And then he just invented basketball. So how about that one, Corporal Comer?
Didn't know that. It was a good fact. If it's true, I'm assuming it's not true because you've just read it on some sort of ridiculous made-up website. But well, if it is true, good fact.
So a made-up website, like an invented website, let's say. Well, there must be some kind of truth in it. They haven't just, you know, plucked this from nowhere, so taken it from nowhere.
Oh, yeah. If you put something on a website, then there must be some truth in it. Yeah.
It is definitely true, isn't it?
100% That's the way the world works, yeah.
Although it did get me thinking of your career in basketball. You were quite the basketball player back in the day, weren't you? I remember you had the little basketball thing outside your house.
Yeah. Me and the Hellraiser were really good. And by really good, I mean very average.
I honestly thought you were going to make it. So when you make it, you basically like become a professional. I could have imagined you playing in the NBA.
No. I mean, that's just mental. I mean, I was actually pretty bad. I think I was in the team through pity. And because I was just one of the only people that would play basketball.
Yeah, because we had a school team and Corporal Comer was kind of on the fringes. So on the fringes, not really in the first team. But
squad player.
Squad player, yeah. You know, when everyone else was injured, he was there. But I think one of the people that the teacher just kind of felt sorry for, because he was always there. He came to every training session really, really enthusiastic. It's like, oh, come on. Did you, a question though, did you used to play with your glasses on?
No, I didn't. That's actually a good question. No. That's probably why I wasn't quite up to the standard I could have been.
Now we know why you didn't make it to the NBA, Corporal Comer.
I mean, our school team was so disinterested in basketball that we had vests that were 20 years old, and the number on the back, you know, you have a number in like football or rugby, was just black masking tape that they just put across it. So like one was just one strip of masking tape. Two, it's, you know, like a clock, the numbers on a clock where they're all just straight lines. That's what the numbers on the back of the vests were. For, like, we just looked like peasants turning up somewhere.
Should have been playing football then. That's the peasant sport. That's why we did play football. Anyway, it has been a pleasure talking to you about rugger, as some people say, rugby. Hopefully England are world champions. I won't be watching it, but I hope you enjoy your 8:45 pub session, Corporal Comer. Oh,
no worries there. I certainly will.
Okay, well, a pleasure as always. Speak to you soon.
All right, catch you in a bit, mate.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so that was me talking to Corporal Comer about rugby. So let's have a look at some of that rock and roll vocabulary. At the beginning of the episode, Corporal Comer said, we didn't have our long-winded conversation. So if something is long-winded, I described it as being long during the episode, but I suppose the best way to describe it is longer than needed, which is nice for him to tell me that normally we have a conversation which is longer than needed at the beginning, but thank you nonetheless, Corporal Comer. I also said that I let out the fact we have a review. So if you let something out, you often just accidentally release a secret, let's say. You just let it out. Let out the fact that. It's a nice term you can use. Then Corporal Comer said, when I asked him, do you know what we're talking about? He said, not a clue. I have no idea. And I then said, well, straight off the bat, I will tell everyone I know nothing about rugby. So straight off the bat, immediately. There was some debate about this term a few weeks ago, whether it was straight off the back or bat. The correct phrase is bat, but many English people like me get that wrong. And then we had the term this Saturday coming, when Corporal Comer said he had his table booked for this Saturday coming, which is now gone because it was obviously last Saturday for you, I suppose. We had the term fry up, which is just an English breakfast with the, you know, bacon, eggs, all of that. That is a fry up. I then said that you often get swept up in the emotions, let's say, when you're in the country, because Corporal Comer, even though he doesn't really like rugby, he's in England, so he gets swept up in it. I'm not in England, so I'm not getting swept up in it. So you kind of forget about things and you just let yourself go with the crowd and then start saying, yeah, this is brilliant, even if you don't really like it. We had the term pig's bladder. So the bladder is the part of your body which, as I described, controls the piss. I'm sure there's probably a more scientific way to describe that, but I don't know. Speaking of scientific things, we had the word faint, when you get a bit hot maybe, or if you see a pig's bladder, you might faint and just lose consciousness and hit the ground. And as I described, it was all a bit much for me. If something's a bit much for you, it's too much for you. I then said Corporal Comer was pissing on my parade because he was ruining my fun, as usual. So that's exactly what pissing on my parade means. Someone ruins your fun. Then we had the word minging, when I think we were talking about the pig's heart. I can't remember. And I said, yeah, it was minging. So disgusting. Very slang, that word, as we mentioned in the episode. Generally used for 12-year-olds, but as I said, I'm bringing it back. It's having a second wind. So if something has a second wind, it has a second time, let's say. Maybe a pop star is really successful and then no one hears from him in a while. Then he has a second wind a few years later and everyone loves him again. We had the term sign up for a gym. So when you start going to the gym, you sign up for the gym. I then said, I don't know the protocol for showing your penis at my new gym. So the protocol, the standard, what's the standard procedure? I don't know. And then I said, I got mine out just to set the tone, okay, just to set the standard. Then we were talking about the national anthem and we said it caught on. So when something catches on, everyone starts doing it. It was like that ice bucket challenge thing a few years ago. I don't know if you remember it. One person did it, another person did it. Then it caught on and everybody did it. Then we were talking about the information on the website and I said, they haven't just plucked this from nowhere. So there's a nice term. If you say they haven't plucked it from nowhere, they haven't taken it from nowhere. Like they've taken it from a really good site. Then I said I thought Corporal Comer was going to make it as a professional. So when you make it, you become a professional. For example, I was hoping to make it as a footballer. Didn't quite work out, but, you know, I tried. And then I said Corporal Comer was on the fringes of the school team. So the fringes, the edges, let's say, not one of the main players, sometimes would play, sometimes not play. Then you are on the fringes of the team. And then finally, we had the word rugger, which is a kind of slang way to say rugby, which, as I just want to point out again, I do not like. But I hope you liked this episode. And remember, all of the rock and roll vocabulary is on the website, rockandrollenglish.com/episode175. I will see you all again next week, people. But in the meantime, just keep on rocking, baby.
Thanks so much for listening to Rock and Roll English. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit rockandrollenglish.com and facebook.com/rockandrollenglish. We'll catch you next time.